We all know the rules. We think about them every day. How could we not know them? We learned them by heart before we came here, and they've been drilled into our heads by constant use ever since. But still we sit, nearly 1,000 of us, on plastic benches in a former Pentecostal church, desanctified in the 1990s, I don't know why, listening to our 12 inviolate rules recited over a crackling PA system by nervous community members in their best clothes. Because it's what we do. We do it every year to commemorate the extraordinary trip we all took together 4 years ago. Our escape from fear and sickness and hunger, our miraculous arrival in this land of milk and honey. It's a trip that almost certainly had never happened before, and, based on the state of the world when we left it, will never happen again. So April 23rd is kind of like our Thanksgiving, but without the turkey and pumpkin pie. It is also, coincidentally, the day Shakespeare was born and died. We do it because it's easy to forget amid all the sweetness and fatness of this place that we don't belong here, that we pose a danger to it. That's why the rules are critical and the consequences of forgetting them are grave. It's like any strict religious or political system. When your practices are hard to follow, you'd better keep reminding your flock of them. I put my feet flat on the floor as the projector hums to action at the back of the hall, cutting a beam through the dark air and slowly illuminating the first face on the wide screen that hangs behind the old altar. It takes a moment for the shadows and shapes to become a person, to become someone I know or don't know. It's hard to watch this, but they always do it. As we recite the rules, they show the faces of the people we lost since the last time we met here. It's like the in memoriam tribute you see on the Academy Awards or the Grammys, but also, it's not. This year there are 7 of them. There's no explanation or commentary. They just scroll through these faces again and again. But most of us have a sense of the story behind each face. We understand, without saying so, the overrepresentation of the fragile, the wayward, and the incompliant members of our community up there on that screen. My mother glances at me as Dr. Strauss stands up from the dais at the front to recite the first rule, the one about allegiance. The rules are never displayed, never even written down on a piece of paper. That's not how we do things. We've gone back to an oral tradition. I try to listen. I always do, but the words have been stirred around so many times they've lost their particular order and shape in my ears. They've melted and dissolved into a chaotic mix of impressions and anxieties. Dr. Strauss is one of the leaders. There are 9 of them, and 12 counselors. The leaders make the policy, and the counselors hand it down to us and translate it into our daily lives. We are each assigned to a counselor. Mine is Mr. Robert. He's sitting up there, too. A girl near the back in a green dress stands to recite the second rule about the sequence of time. Heads politely turn. It's an honor to get to recite one, like landing a part in the Christmas pageant. I was chosen once, 3 years ago. My mom dressed me in her gold ballet flats and her most expensive silk scarf. She mashed rouge into my cheeks. I got to say the 6th one, about never submitting to medical attention outside the community. After the girl speaks, we all turn back to the front, obediently awaiting rule number 3. The black and white face of Mrs. Branch now takes its turn up on the screen. She was an acquaintance of my mother's, and I know she died of breast cancer that barely got treated. The photo doesn't exactly hark back to happier times. It looks like it was taken on the day she got her diagnosis. I look away. Briefly, I catch the eyes of my friend Catherine a few rows behind. I find it's hard to figure out from watching the leaders fanned out on the dais which one of them is really in charge. No one will tell you, but I think I know. I think this because of something that happened to me when I was 13, not long before my turn at reciting the sixth rule. It was around 9 months after we'd gotten here. I was still disoriented, still way too skinny, still watching TV to learn how to talk and act. I hadn't started going to school yet. I was having chronic breathing problems. My mom said it was really incredibly fortunate that somebody with asthma got to make the trip at all. She said something about my enhanced IQ making up for it, but barely.